Today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to your dreams that you dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning on this beautiful May morning. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I'm delighted that you're here for this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all who are mothers or who have had a mother. I think that's all of us. Or who have had someone who mothered you well. It is good to honor the many ways of being a mother and the gift of so many who have modeled strength and ingenuity and care and courage while just loving us in a life-shaping kind of way. We are in our third week of the Foundation for the Future Capital Campaign. We've been focused, as you heard in the children's time, we've been focused on reflecting on what happens in this place, in this very room, where God meets us and feeds us, where we find our center when our lives get kind of off kilter, where God binds us together with others, and together we discover that we belong to one another and we learn to be Christ's body in the world. Here, the foundation of faith is laid for the future, for our future. Today, I want to really kind of draw on that to establish this really essential link between what we do in here, in this room, and what happens when we leave here, the link between our transformation and the transformation of the world. Earlier this week, one of my children was scheduled to perform in a production for her theater class. Now, this was not one of the one of those productions that is like school-wide major production involving dozens and dozens of students in a big theater. This was not that. This was a smaller project for a single class, but still, her class had spent weeks preparing to perform this show. But the last week, end of last week, the discovery was made that not all of the I's had been dotted, the T's had been crossed for the school to be licensed to perform the show that they had prepared. Rut-row is right. So with just two more class sessions before the performance day, the teacher had to come up with a whole new plan. Teachers are magic. So the teacher literally had to improvise. And what better way to improvise than with improvisation, right? So on Thursday, we watched a bunch of seventh graders shine with all of their unique personalities and their distinctly middle school humor. They brought all of that to the stage as they put on a live improv show for the audience. And it was a ton of fun. It was hilarious. The cardinal rule of improv, does anybody know what it is?
Yes, and
a lot of, we should do an improv show here. Wow, we've got some people who know what they're doing. Yeah, it's yes and. So the rule is to keep the story going, no matter what happens, no matter how you have to adapt it. Yes and is this commitment, and it has to be by every single person on that stage, to receive whatever happens, whatever line your fellow player may deliver or whatever prop they might introduce, and don't reject it and don't ignore it, but incorporate it into your next move. To take what you've been given and then build on it to keep the story going. The Christian life is, in a sense, a life of improvisation. We are grounded in a story. We are rooted in a theme. If you want to think of it musically, there's improvisation there too. And then we go out from here to improvise on that theme. We go out into the world to keep the story going, receiving whatever happens and incorporating it into our next moves, into the next scene. The way of faith, the life of faith, is to learn the story by heart and then to improvise on it in the world. So the people listening to Jeremiah, they were kind of forced into an improvised faith. They were people of the exile. They had watched as their city and their nation were conquered and destroyed. They endured horrific acts of war. They watched their neighbors being slaughtered, and then those who survived, as if they hadn't been through enough, they were rounded off and they were sent off in all directions. They were dispersed so that they wouldn't be a threat to the empire, to Babylon. And so they were sent, and they were sent to all different places, but many of them were actually sent to Babylon, to the hub of the empire, to the very city that had been the cause of their destruction. And it was the move itself that hit them the hardest. It took them away, not just from their city, but it took them away from the temple and from their priests. It threatened to cut them off from God altogether. And so God, through the words of the prophet Jeremiah, God tells the people that, essentially, that they're just going to have to improvise. To take the story that they know by heart and to learn to live it in a different way, even in a hostile place. In many ways, God's instructions here are really practical. Build houses, plant gardens, get married, raise children, have them get married, and so on. But in God's encouragement in these verses, God shows them that faithful living isn't just about keeping to themselves and taking care of their own affairs. God urges them to seek the welfare of the city to which you have been sent. God tells them that living faithfully means working even for the good of Babylon. That sort of life, friends, that is an expression of hope. God urges the people to live and work and play for the sake of the city as an expression of hope. Hope that the lives that they build there will contribute to the future that God is unfolding. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for hope and a future. In his reflection on the difference between optimism and hope, Oliver Sacks, he surmises that optimism is a passive virtue, but hope is an active one. Optimism looks at the future with binoculars while hope gets its hands in the soil. Optimism says, well, it'll probably turn out all right, and then waits around to see. But hope says, if it's not good yet, then it's not over yet. And then hope gets to work for the good in ways that are great and small. You do that, church. You do it by supplying bread loaves for the mobile loaves kitchen. You do it by bringing books and supplying mentors for young students. You do it by carefully selecting undergarments that will be comfortable for someone who sleeps on a bench. You do it by preparing testimony for a legislative committee hearing. Working for the welfare of the city is an act of hope and of improvisation. It is what makes this a yes and church. At our best, we take the story of God that we learn in this place out into the world and we improvise on it. We find new and creative ways to live and to love like Jesus. What happens here in the sanctuary, it strengthens and it equips and it launches us out into every neighborhood in Austin to be salt and light, to live actively as God's people of hope. Here, we are told that our lives are not our own, that we belong to God. We learn that in God's dream for us, our lives are bound up with the lives of those around us. Our welfare, our thriving, it is wrapped up in theirs too. David James Duncan writes about the wonder of a tree. He writes about what a marvel it is that the bodies of trees are built both by their downward hunger for earth and water and by their upward yearning for light. How wonderful, he says, that these paradoxical aims do not tear a tree in half and cause it to die of indecision, but instead cause it to grow tall and strong. The church, at its best, it's like that. It's like a tree. It is grounded, deeply rooted in the soil, and it is reaching up and reaching out, extending its branches further and further each year. As we imagine the future that God dreams of, the future that God wants to build here in Austin, Texas, it is a future in which the arms of the church are extended wide, where the wideness of our reach is matched by the depth of our roots. It's a future where we are grounded in God's story and sent out to improvise, to continue the story in new ways, even as we carry out our everyday lives, building houses, planting gardens, getting married, raising children. It is a future with hope. So, friends, may this be the holy place where you are rooted and strengthened to be sent out to the far reaches, all the while saying yes and to the future that God dreams of. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.